Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf tzaddik. We're holding the bottom of Pei Tes Amid Beis. We already started a brisa, four lines from the bottom of the Amid, and as you recall, our sugya yesterday and today focus on the inyan, that one has to have honest measures. So the pasuk says, Eben Shleima V'Tzedek Yialach, Eifa Shleima V'Tzedek Yialach, V'man Yarichu Yamecha Arichas Yamam, for a person who conducts his business with honesty and integrity. And therefore, lo yilecha beveischa eifa v'eifa g'doy luktana. Don't have different measures which are for the same. In other words, you have two eifas, two same containers that say on them eifa, and one is a little bit g'doyla, and one is a little bit katana, a little bit larger, a little bit smaller, because then the individual that owns those two eifas can unfortunately engage in deception. How would that be the case? If he's a retailer, for instance, when he gets the wholesale goods, he'll bring in the Eifa Gedoyla and say to the wholesaler, fill it up to the brim. And then when he sells it to his customers, he's going to go and take the Eifa Ktana, so that it's going to be a little bit less. And then when all of these are, unfortunately, fraudulent practices that one has to distance oneself from. And therefore the Brisa says four lines from the bottom, Tanya Mihochi, Lo Yasha Odom Mida Chaseira or Yeseira Betoich Beis. A person is not allowed to hold on in his home to a Mida Chaseira or Yeseira, meaning that over time the Mida has lost a little bit, it's gotten a little smaller, it's gotten a little dented, a hole, a here or there, whatever, or Yeseira, or that you added to it, and the reason why you added to it is that you should be able to go and get more from the soicher, from the wholesaler. These types of midas, even if you're not using them, do not keep them in your home. Even if it happens to be something that you use as a potty chair, who's going to go and measure any type of food item in such an avichu meiraglai? However, we had the Gemara yesterday, something could happen if you're under terrible time duress. For instance, it's Erev Shabbos, it's 4 or 5 o'clock, people have to quickly run and get to shul and put things away and take care of things, and the only meat is able to find is this avichu meimei raglaim. He quickly rinses it out, he washes it thoroughly, and he uses it, but unfortunately, it's a mida chaseira o yeseira. So therefore, don't have these at home, because you never know when it might be misused. But rather, what should one do? Avo, and this is where we're up to, oisehu, he should rather have a standard set of measures, starting with a saw. Everybody knows a saw has in it six kavim. So the next one after the saw is the tarkav. Tarkav, says Rishbam, means trei v'kav. That means three kavim. So that's half of a saw. And then mechutzi tarkav is half of the tarkav, which instead of three, it's now one and a half kavim. Right, so we started with a saw, which is six kavin. Tarkav is three kavin. Chatzi tarkav is one and a half kavin. Notice we left out two kavin in between, because tarkav is three, and now we're going to half of three is one and a half. We left out two, and the Gemara is going to discuss that shortly on the Amid Aleph. And then the next one is a kav, and after that is a chatzi kav. And the roiva is a roiva hakav, which is a quarter of a kav. The tuman is an eighth of a kav, the chatzi tuman is a sixteenth of a kav, and the uchla is the smallest. The kamihi uchla, how much is an uchla? Echad mechamisha, it says berviya, but the better girsa is the Rajbam's girsa, echad mechamisha beroiva. That would be the 20th of a kav. Right? So we went from a kav, half of a kav, a quarter, an eighth, a sixteenth, and a 20th. Good. That's all by midos hayovesh. Or midos halach huoysa. This is for liquid measures. What do? You start off with a hin. Then you start go continue on to chatziah hin. And then ushlishis a hin. And then uravdias a hin. So hin we know from the Gemara already a couple of days ago is 12 lugin. So that's one hin. A chatzi hin is 6 lugin. Shlishis is 4 lugin. Revius is 3 lugin, and now we go down to loik. We left out 2, we go from 4 to 3 to 1. Then chatzi loik, a half of a loik. Urevius and a quarter of a loik. Ushminus and an eighth of a loik. The Echad Mishmoyne Bishminis, and now 1/64th of a like, which is tiny. Vizehu Kartoiv. We don't have Kartoiv every day in Shas, but you do find it in particular in Mikvois. What does it say in Mikvois? If you have to have a minimum of 40 sa'ah of rainwater, of Meg Shamim, what happens if it's Chosir Kartoiv? Just missing us, Akleinakite, 1/64th of a like. Or you put in non-meg shamim, you put in, for instance, mayim she'uvim, you could pass a mikveh with that small amount. If you're wondering how much that small amount is, the Art Scroll says in the footnotes that that's 0.4 or a quarter of a fluid ounce. We're talking about a quarter of a fluid ounce. Can you imagine what that means? You take one of these little schnapps glazlich, that's about 1.1 or 1.2 fluid ounces. This is like less than half of that. That small amount goes into the mikveh before you get 40 so. If you have more than 40 so, you don't have a problem. But if it's less than 40 so, and that amount gets in, it could passel the mikveh. So it's a very, very small shift. So, kartov. Okay. You also have it in the morning in the karbonos. If you mix in a kartov shel tavash, people wouldn't be able to stand up neirecha. Anyway, that's also another time that we have the word kartov. So, zero kartov. Says Yimar, now, velavid nami. Okay, so now we've gone through now, what's the purpose of listing all of these various measures? So as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, they specially gave all of these names, and we left out a couple in the middle, because we don't want there to be potential confusion, which means that your customer who comes into the store, if he wants to have a sa'ah, or he wants a tarkav, the difference between the two is so significant that there cannot be a mistake, and by accident someone's going to give him just a tarkav and he thinks it's a saw, or he's going to give him a chatzi tarkav and he thinks it's a tarkav, because the discrepancy is large enough that he knows for sure, when he sees the weight on one side of the scale, or if you're talking about a midah, you're talking about filling up the container, he'll easily be able to recognize whether this is a half a container or three quarters or 7/8 or whatever. So that's why you have to make these sizes of containers so that there should not be any potential confusion. So Freik Timar, we're on the fifth line from the top of Tzadik Amid Aleph. V'levin nami kabayim. Why did we go and leave out two kavim? So going back to the Amid Beis. So we said we started off with the last two lines. We had the sa'ah, which was the sixth kavim. We had the tarkav, which was the three kavin, and the chotzi tarkav, which was the 1.5 kavin. So we went from 3 to 1.5, and we left out the two kavin. So for Eitimara, why don't we make also a two kav measure? Because I'm afraid there's going to be confusion. We're going to mix up the two kavin with the tarkav, which is three kavin. Three and two are fairly close together. Alma says, Yimor, if that is really your concern, Alma to inchi tilsa, I see then that people make a mistake of a third. The what means of a third? Since we're talking about that we do have a three kavan measure, and we're suggesting make a two kavan measure, if you're going to go and make a two, says Yimor, you might get confused with three. In other words, the person bought and paid for three kavan, and he was only given two kavan. Not necessarily because the mocher wanted to deceive him, could have been an honest mistake, because the difference between two and three is so minimal that a person can be mistaken. Says the Gemara, so what is in fact the difference between two and three? A difference of a third, right? A third of three is one, the difference between two and three is one. Aha! So if that's the case, that people can make such mistakes, even on thirds, ihochi kav nami leilevit, so don't make a kav, right? Going back in the same price that we had, that after you do your tarkav, which is three, chatzi tarkav, which is 1.5, and then we have kav. Ooh. So don't make a kav also nami lelevit de osi lechlufi bechatzi tarkav, because the difference between 1 and 1.5 is also a third. Yeah, is that right? Because 1.5 minus 1 is a half. And how much is a half of 1.5? A half of 1.5, of course, is a third. So if you're concerned that people will make mistakes in thirds, so just like you said, don't make kabayim, because it can get confused with the three. Don't make a kav, because it'll get confused with the 1.5. It's, in fact, it's exactly half, right? This is 2 and 3, and this is 1 and 1.5. It's exactly the same proportion. So we should be just as concerned why do we allow for making a kaf and not make a kabayim? Alice says, well, I'll tell you, right. You're 100% right. I made a mistake. El kabayim haynu tamtali ovid, not because I'm afraid that you're going to confuse two with three, but rather haynu tamtali ovid li osi lechlufe b'chatsi tarkav, because the two and the one and a half. Ooh, the two and the one and a half. What's the difference between two and one and a half? Is a quarter, is a half. A half compared to two is a quarter. Right? There are four halves in two. Alam b'toy inish riva. Ah, so people make a mistake of a quarter. People don't make a mistake of three, a third. Third is a major discrepancy. 33%. No, people are sharper than that. But 25%, no. There a person could make a mistake. If that's the case, that no longer applies to the one and the one and a half, because there the one and one and a half, we've already said that that's a difference of a third, right? One and a half minus one is a half. A half of one and a half is a third. So then the kasha falls away. I'm only concerned about these smaller increments of a quarter where people can make a mistake. That's why they didn't make a tour, a two kav mesh. We shouldn't make the chatzi tumen. Those are the last ones on the omid beis and the top of the omid aleph. We shouldn't make those. Now, exactly what is that shear that the Gemara is asking Leilavit? So that's a little bit more complicated, if you will. So for that, we're going to have to start over again the shiurim. But we're only going to start from the kav on the bottom of Peites Amid Beis. Rishbam already tells us that a kav is four lugin, and a lug is six bayim. So if a kav is four lugin and a lug is six bayim, then a kav should be altogether 24 bayim, because 4 times 6 is 24. If you're wondering where I'm looking, if you look two lines from the bottom of the Rishbam on Pei Tes Amid Beis, you'll see the last two lines. Rishbam says, Upirusha, in the middle of the line, I have a little dot here, maybe you don't have a dot, but right after that, Upirusha, Kav Dalet Lugin, a kav is four lugin, and loig is vav bayim, so 4 times 6 is 24, in case you didn't know the math, nimtza kav chov dalet bayim. Oh, so you have 24 bayim altogether. Okay. And then they will tell you afterwards that there's a mnemonic askalab godu that you should be able to remember. Is that right, Mendy?
Correct.
Yeah. So for those of you wondering, what is this askalab godu? Askalab is Rosh Tevis. Aleph is Eifa. Samach of askalab is a so'a. Askilab is a kuf, is kav. After that comes a lamed, which is a loig, and finally a beis, which is for bayim. And therefore you have askalab. And now what's the shear of each one compared to the other? Goidu. Goidu means gimel is three. There are three so'a in an eifa. Vav, there are six kavin in a so'a. Dalid, there are four loigin in a kav. And vav of goidu, there are six bayim in a loig. So that's you have the askalab goidu. Beginning back to our Gemara, so we have now that the kav that the Gemara is referring to is 24 bayim. Chotzi kav, by definition, is 12 bayim. A bayim, of course, are eggs. We're talking about eggs in terms of the size, not that you're buying eggs or selling eggs, we're just talking about the measure. So the kav is 24. Chatzi kav is 12. Roiva is 6. Toimon is 3. Chatzi toimon is 1.5. 1.5x. The oichla, we said, is a chamisha of revia, which is 1/20, which is 1.2x. So we have 1.5 versus 1.2. If you subtract that, you get 0.3. 0.3 compared to the 1.5 would give you a fifth. So, Freit de Gemara, Madach, we're saying that a person makes a mistake in a quarter measure, then certainly a person will make a mistake in a fifth measure. So, Ibazoi, Freit de Gemara, Hachi, Chatzi, Toimin, V'Ochla, V'Yabit, we shouldn't allow for making the 1.5 and then the 1.2 measures of eggs because of all the mistakes. A person, where's Shelley? A person could make a mistake and he'll have egg all over his face for making this terrible mistake. When you're talking about already the smaller midas that people can recognize quick. Talking about a big midah, they don't automatically chop. Small midas, they knew the difference between a teaspoonful and a tablespoon. Mm-hmm. People had a good feel for that. So tomorrow, oy bazoi, shlisha sehin, or a via sehin, loy levin, why did we allow for a shlisha sehin? Now remember, we started off a hidden is 12 loikin. So shlisha sehin, by definition, is 4. Revias is 3. So you're talking about a difference between 4 and 3 loikin, which is a difference of 1. 1 out of 4 is 1 quarter. We said that when it comes to quarters, toy in a river, people do make mistakes in quarters. And that's why we didn't have the 2 kavim measure. So why do we allow for both a shlisha sehin and a revias sehin, which is by definition 4 loik and 3 loik? Yeah, the difference of 1 out of the 4 is 25%. Loik lebit. Ever the Gemara, you're right. However, kiven dehav b'mikdash regards with rabbanan. Since in the base mikdash we had these different differentiations, the shlisha sehin and the revias sehin, therefore they decided that the rabbanan didn't want to be goyzer and make it frumer, so to speak, outside the base mikdash than inside the base mikdash. The base mikdash you're allowed to have a shlisha sehin or revias sehin, you're allowed to have outside the base mikdash too. Frank, the heart mikdash now in Ligza, so we should be goyzer over there too. The kehanim will be to'eh. Now, for those of you who are wondering why you had to have the chatziah hin, the devias hin, and the shlishes hin, because Barry will share that with us.
Yeah, because it's by regular korbanos, the nesachim, for the shore, for the par, you had a chatziah hin, for the isle, you had a shlishes hin, and for the keves, you had a revias hin.
Very
so solas cholish b'chatzah, so we lay it every month.
We lay it at least once a month on Rosh Chodesh, that's correct. Chatziah hin yeh lapor, shlish sehin la'ayil, v'yeh sehin la'kevah, z'yoyin, z'yoy z'choy, chod shay ashan. Beautiful. So what do I learn from that? That every time that they brought, for instance, a korban oiler, a korban shlomim, you had to go and add to that your minchas esochem. Minchas esochem means a korban mincha, which was not eaten by the kahana, but rather was burned on the mizbeach, as well as nesochem, that they had to go and pour out some wine, as nisuchem, as libations. How much wine? Chatziah hin, 6 loigin, shlishes sehin, and revias sehin, depending whether you're talking about a par, an ayil, or a kevis. Shkoyach. So since the Beis Hamikdash, they had that, so that's why they made it also outside the Beis Hamikdash. But why would the Kodesh Baruch Hu say making the Beis Hamikdash if the Kohanim are going to be toeh in figuring out exactly the right measures? If the more Kohanim's reason, and you don't have to worry, the Kohanim, they have their alacrity, the fancy word, and they really know what they're doing, and they're really on top of it. You don't have to make a mistake. A regular customer goes into the supermarket, into a grocer, he or she could make a mistake, but not the guy. Right. Omer Shmuel, Ein moisifen al hamidois yoisem mishtus, v'loi al hamadbeya yesem mishtus, v'hamistaker al yistaker yoisem mishtus. What is this all about? When we say Ein moisifen al hamidois, we're talking about governments and localities. When they are thinking about things of this nature, they have nothing else to do, and they figure out, you know what, it would be nice to go and change the midais. If I'm not mistaken, in England about 20 years ago, you used to have that the pound had 24 pence, and they changed it from a pound 24 pence to 20 pence to make it easier to figure out the cheshbonos. So the same thing you have over here, legabe midais, that they figure the midais, it doesn't work so evenly and so well, and we should go and be moisif, make it a little bit larger. So the Rishbam gives an example that, for instance, that if you had previously a loig, we said before, has in it 6 bayim, what would have happened if initially it was only 5 eggs, and now we've decided to increase the loig, so now it should be the size of 6 eggs, of a shisha bayim. Look, the maisa, a loig is vav bayim. What happens if initially it would have been only 5, and then the municipality decided, you know what, let's make the loig a little bit larger, and now make it into 6 bayim in terms of the volume. So you're wondering, so what's the problem? The problem is that when the mochrim realize that the midos are larger, that now when they're selling a loig, instead of selling 5 eggs volume, they're selling 6 eggs volume, they're going to increase the price, because obviously they're giving more to the customer. They, however, might not go and add just a 6 to the price. They might decide, normally if you're going to add an additional 6, it would make it $1.16, $1.70. Round it up. Make $1 and a quarter. Yeah, it's easier, $1 and a quarter. And therefore, this is going to cause potential problems for the consumers. They're going to have to pay more. So that's why, leave it at, don't make it yes and mishnos. And the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, so why increase it at all? Even if you're talking about less than a shtus, even if you're making it only
15 cents.
Exactly, for 10 cents or 15 cents, but that also could lead to market cheating intentionally or unintentionally of raising the price to $1.25, for instance, in our example. So why dafke shtus? Anymore, we'll ask that momentarily. Same thing with Alman Bey, yes, mishtus. Don't go and increase the Madbeya by saying that this particular Madbeya until now, a quarter, you can go and get 25 pennies for it. Oh, let's go make it instead of a quarter, getting 25 pennies, a quarter, give 30 cents. Don't, you could do that if you want to, just as long as you don't go, yes, mishtus. Up to mishtus, but not more. So my example from 25 to 30, since we're looking milabar and not milagav, if you go and take a sixth of 30, you have 5 cents, so that would be permissible. The municipality could make it from 25 to 30, because although that haisafa, we would look upon it as a 20% increase. However, Chazal look upon it as being a 16%, because they don't look at milagav, they look milabar, meaning after you added the 5 cents, the 5 out of the 30, would be a 6. That's okay. Until a 6 is fine. But don't make it from 25 to 32 cents, to 35 cents. V'hamistak l'yistak yoyz mishtus. So when a person is going and making business, he shouldn't get more than a 6th. Rishbam explains, that's talking about if the prices have remained stable from beginning to end. So you have a middleman that's buying from the wholesalers, from the farmers, selling it to the retailers, selling it to the customers, the consumers. So his profit margin should be not more than a 6th. We'll see why he shouldn't be more than a 6th. So he should not be adversely affected if there was a hisofa al hamidas. However, the Rishbam says, but of course, if at the time that you originally bought it, it was a dollar. And then, Baruch Hashem, from the moichas perspective, prices went up subsequently just because of natural market forces. And now it's $1.50 or $2. And of course, he's allowed to go and charge more because the rates have gone up. It's just that if the rates have remained stable from beginning to end, then he shouldn't add more than issues.
Did the Beis Din typically endorse the prevailing price and publish it? I mean, we have like the Shahr goes out, the price goes out. Was that something that was publicized and endorsed by Beis Din, or was this something informal?
I would assume that it was under the aegis or the authority of the Beis Din. I doubt that the Beis Din itself would go and publish the rates, but presumably with the city council or the legislators or whoever engaged in this, presumably on top of them was the so-called Supreme Court, the Beis Din, that presumably would approve or disapprove of any of these types of things.
Anyway, these are only like commodity businesses, commodity products. Mm-hmm. For example, the shmata business typically have a 100% markup.
Mm-hmm. But there's labor involved in that. There's labor.
I'm saying, but the buyer would buy, say, a shirt for $12.50. He'd sell it for $25.
Right, mm-hmm. On Keystone, right? You double it, but that's because there's labor. It's not just grain.
The rent and there's everything else.
Exactly, right. There's labor and other and insurance and other other factors.
Just,
They're overhead expenses. Okay. Anyway, halacha l'maaseh, of course, look it up in Shulchan Aruch and discuss it with a competent Orthodox rabbi.
Rabbi says, "Chanis chami zuchli shtake yoser." Meaning more, too much profit.
Mm-hmm.
How about a lawyer that, say, charges hourly rates? So how do we...
It's a reflection of his training and the years of dedication, studying the material.
And the dangers today in going to law school if you're among the free Palestinian people. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara is now going to focus on each one of these. We said, "Ein moisif al hamidas, ein moisif al hamidas, yoyse mishtas." My time. What's the reason why? Ilei mishum afkui tara, the concern that we had before, that as a result of making, for instance, the loy increasing, let's say, from 5 to 6, and therefore what's going to happen is the loy, which was previously selling the marshal for a dollar, now we're going to say that we're going to sell it, should be 1/6 more. And instead, the mocha will take advantage, intentionally or unintentionally, of the situation and say, well, so since I'm giving so much more, I'm going to increase the price not to $1.16, I'm going to increase it to $1.25. Furthermore, if that's the case, it's not me loy. So then don't even go be moisef mishtos. In other words, since we are concerned about the financial impact on the consumer, don't allow for any of these types of things, or maybe even less, maybe only a set of a shtus, maybe only a 10th, a 20th, a 1%, 2%, if you're worried about a fkui tara. We're concerned about We touched on this a little bit yesterday. We all know from back from Bab Metzia that the shir of ainoa is a 6th, And Bittul Mekach is more than a sixth. What's the difference between a sixth and more than a sixth? By a sixth, the Mekach is Kayim. That means that the deal goes through. And if he has been overcharged, he has a right to a refund of that overcharge. However, if it's more than a sixth, Bittul Mekach, both the Mocher and the Lekeach, can change their minds and say, we made a boo-boo, we charged too much, and the Mekach is bottle, not Mekach is Kayim, the Mekach is bottle. Ah, so maybe if that's the reason of Shmuel, that says, don't add more than a sixth, because up to a sixth, you'll have a Noah, but worse comes to worse, you'll keep a refund. Mm-hmm. But if it's more than a sixth, it'll be Bittul Mekach. Why would the Chacham allow for the congressmen, the legislators, to legislate an increase more than a sixth, which will cause Bittul Mekach in the marketplace? Because the person will overcharge by more than a sixth, and the whole thing will be Bittul Mekach. So that's L'choyre the Svara, Frey Timura, but that's not right. Anything that you're talking about in volume, you're talking about a weight, you're talking about a count, even if it's less than I know, you can be choiser. Let's give a very simple example. I don't know what the story is today, but I remember years ago, you used to be able to go and get a bag of 10 oranges, l'moshel, for a dollar. Today's probably, well, Talia, crazy, it's $3, $5, $10, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, 10 oranges for a dollar. When happens if a person paid the dollar, took the big bag of oranges, he comes home, he opens it up, there are only 9 oranges. What did the guy do to me? That's terrible. I'm supposed to get 10 oranges. Goes back to the store, he brings in the bag, you see, you filled it up to the top, 9 oranges, I'm supposed to get 10. So the Moicher, a Talmud Chacham, says, okay, I'm sorry for the mistake, but it was less than a shtus. Because a shtus would be a sixth, and this is a tenth. So therefore, you're moichel, and I don't have to pay you back. I'm off the hook. After all, it's less than a shtus. It's not kidei oino. Says Rava, that's narishkeit. If you said that you're selling 10, it's got to be 10. Don't say I'm giving 9, and 9 is only a difference of 1. When can you talk about oino, about things which are not fixed, like midos, mishkolim, and minyan? And anything that has to do with that you overcharge as a result of the midos being inaccurate, the mishkal, the weight being inaccurate, the minyan, the count being inaccurate, then has nothing to do with oino, nothing to do with six. So for the Balmik, they are no chayz, even if it's less than a six, even if it's only 1%. If you find that the other guy's scale is faulty, he has an electric scale, but it always starts off, as soon as it's nothing's on the scale, it starts off with 0.5 or 0.2 of a pound or whatever. It's wrong. Even if it's less than clear, no, it makes no difference. You can't go and charge the smallest percentage more than meet the mishkol minyan. So in Bazois, that lechoira cannot be the pshat in Shmuel, why Shmuel said, and we see finalim b'disayis mishtos. Alice says in Modelay, they have a pseida letagra. We don't want that the tagar should have a hefsid. What do you mean you don't want the tagar to have a hefsid? Tagar means the merchant. We already just said a moment ago that a merchant should not go and increase his prices by more than a sixth. In other words, his profit margin should not be more than a sixth. What happens if, in fact, the local government has been moisef al hamidois? The tagar may not have heard about it. This may be a new tagar in town, maybe a person who's importing goods from somewhere else. And what happens is, if they, in fact, cause the loig, instead of being only a volume of 5 eggs, now it's a volume of 6 eggs, this tagar doesn't know it, he's still charging the old prices, he's supplying a loig, without realizing that his loig that he's selling is now gone up in mida, and therefore he's giving 6 instead of 5, and he's getting paid the same amount as he got paid before. As a result, he is now having a hefsid of a shtus. So, as a result, that we do not want tagorim, who are only getting a markup of a shtus, we don't want them to lose their pants by not knowing about the fact that the locality, the municipality, has changed the size of the midos, and he's going to lose out, so that he shouldn't lose out. That's why they said, don't increase the midos by more than a sixth, so that the tagorim, who are only getting a sixth markup, they will not face a loss. And the lay the heavy, pseidu the takra, freyti mara, pseidu hudu lay the heavy, lay, ravcha lay boi, what you're telling me now, it's going to be a wash. What means it's going to be a wash? He hopes he gets a profit margin of a sixth. You're going to tell me that they're going to be moisef al midas. Don't go more than a sixth, so you shouldn't lose everything. What do you mean? He has a tremendous hefsid because of the overhead that we spoke about before. If his profit margin is exactly a sixth, and the midas have increased to a sixth, and he didn't know about it, so he's not getting that additional markup that he would get because of the fact that the midas have now increased. He's still charging the old rates. So it's going to be a wash. He lost out on the additional sixth, which would have been his profit margin, and therefore he made no profit. Zovan, the Zovan, Tagra Ikri. This is an expression. Can a person buy and sell for the same price and then be called a merchant? In other words, what happens if you have a person who is very proud of the fact that he had a million transactions this year, or a million pounds of potatoes this year? And we ask, okay, how much profit did you make? Well, I bought the pound of potatoes for $1, and I sold it for $1. But I was the market leader, I sold 1 million pounds. Mister, you paid $1 million, and you sold it for $1 million, where's your profit? Oh, I didn't think about that. So Zuki Mora, Zoven, if you buy for one price, Vizoven, and then you sell it for the identical price, Tagrikri, you could be the market leader in terms of the number volume of transactions and volume. Well, I see it and make a nickel. Mr. Khatipish, you're called a merchant. Says he more of the same thing over here. If you're allowing the municipality to go and charge, not to charge, but to change the meters, increase them from 5 eggs per loin to 6 eggs per loin, and then you're worried about a tagger that may not know about it, and he's still charging the old prices as if it happens to be the smaller shear without realizing it's gone up. Oh, but don't worry about it, because since his profit margin is a sixth, and we're only increasing the meters by a sixth, he's not going to lose. What do you mean he's not going to lose? He's going to lose his bands terribly because he hasn't made a nickel, and he has all the overhead expenses of the rent and the importation of all of this and the tircha and his labor and coming and going. So therefore, says Imar, that cannot be the reason why Shmuel said, keep it at a sixth. And therefore, Elamar of Chizda, Shmuel Kro Ashkech V'Dorish. Shmuel based it on a pasuk. Now what is this pasuk? This pasuk is a pasuk in Yechezkel. The pasuk is a little bit interesting in its style, the way it's structured, but we'll see how it all adds up together, and then Farshim explain why Yechezkel wrote it in this form. So the pasuk says, "Vashekel, the size of a shekel is Esrim Gera." Esrim Gera Shekel. We're not focusing on the Gera now, we're now focusing on how many shkolim are there in a mona. When you get a mona, how many shkolim are there in it? Says the Braisa, says the Pasuk, I should say. The shekel has Esrim Shkolim, you start off with 20. You add to that Chamish of the Esrim Shkolim, 20 plus 25, 20, 25 comes out to roughly 45. And then you add Asar of a Chamisha, which is another 15. 45 and 15 gets you to roughly 60. Ah, shekel. Altogether, 60 Shkolim in the mana. Hamana Yilechem. One mana is 60 shkolim. That's what it says in the pasuk in Yechezkel. And now we turn to the Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, "What are you nuts? Mana masan v'arboin hava." That means that the mana is 240 dinrim. What does the Gemara mean? Because a shekel has in it 4 dinrim, just like a dollar has 4 quarters. A shekel. I'm sorry.
Is that the dollar of Ches?
That's the dollar of Ches. That's correct. But without going, we don't need to get into all the others. No, he didn't do anything wrong. Everything is fine. But you're right. A shekel has in it 4 dinrim. So now, since a shekel has in it 4 dinrim, if you're going to tell me a mana has in it 60 shekel, thank you. Thank you, Amir. If you're going to tell me, Amir ben Eliyahu, if you're going to go and tell me that every single mana has in it 60 shkolim, that means it has 240 dinrim. That is impossible, because a mana has in it 100 dinrim, not 240 dinrim. And in fact, the Rishbam says, we find when it comes to a ksuba, for instance, you give a psula masayim and almana mana, how much is the mana? That's 100 dinrim, 100 zuz. When you have the psula masayim, that's 200 zuz. So how can you be saying that a mana has in it 60 shkolim, which is 240? It's not true. A mana only has 25 shkolim, or sloim, as the Gemara calls it, which is 100 dinrim. So the chedrin doesn't shtim. It's a shame he left. He likes the word shtim. Elazar Gemara, shma mina klas. We see from that pasuk in Yecheskel three things. Shema mina manashel kodesh kafel haya. The manashel kodesh was double. Ushma mina meisifin ala midos. You can be meisif ala midos and meisifin yoyser mishtos. Ushma mina ashtusa milabah. That when you are adding and talking about numbers, you always chevin yishtus, not from the front end, but from the back end. In other words, after you've already added it. Now, of course, I am not the one that is mesader these things in the Gemara. If I had the koyach, I would have switched it around, and I would put moisif and alamidos first, and the manishal koydish kafel second. Why is that? Because what we're saying is, the midos of hedyot are in fact, like you said, every mana has in it 25 slime, or 25 shkom. They were moisif al hamidos, and they changed it from a mana having 25 shkolim to 30 shkolim. So they added 5. If you add 5 to the original 25, on the surface that sounds like 20%, a fifth of 25. However, since we're adding 5 to 25, and now we have at the end 30, 5 out of 30 is 1/6. So therefore they were moisif a shtus onto the original 25, and now the manishal hedjoit, instead of being 25, and now is 30. Guess what happens? Manishal koidish kafel hoya, so now we take it to 30, and we double it, and we make it into 60. And that's why we have the mana on the Amud Aleph, saying that the mana has to be 60 altogether. That was the 25, together with the 20, together with the 15. As you recall, we made the cheshbon on the Amud Aleph. And therefore, the manishal koidish, in fact, is taka 240 dinrim, like the Gemara said at the top. What is by hedjit? Originally the hedjit was taka 25, and then it would be 100 dinrim, but based on this hoisafa, it became 30 shkolim, which equals 120 dinrim. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. So getting back to the pasuk again, Shema mina manashel kodesh kafel haya, that we see that we took the 30, we doubled it to 60. Ushma mina meisif al hamidos, which originally was 25, and we made it into 30. And via meisif in yoyser mishtus, and when we added the additional 5, we added until ishtus, but not more than that. Ushma mina shtus al hamar, that when you chedrin at your shtus, you don't look at the original 25, but you look at the final product, the 30, that's the milabar. So based on that, Shmuel said, I see from Yecheskel that when they were moisif, the moisif ishtus, so we should keep it at ishtus, and that was the basis of his original ruling that we had on the Amud Aleph, on the Shmuel, moisif, and the Zoyis Mishtus. Fine. Zot Moravaita. Mor tells us now a story, Rapapa bar Shmuel, talking Kaila bar Tlosa Kapizi. Now, the word Kaila, says Rishbam, is the name of a Mida. I originally, when I learned it, I thought that this is perhaps the Hungarian Hasidic pronunciation for the word Kaili. Instead of saying a Kaili, it was Mesakana Kaila. But anyway, but apparently that's not the case, but rather it's the name of a Mita. You've never heard
Kali,
of it.
Orev, isn't there a thing on
that's
top of it?
Kaliya. That's Chof Lamed Yud Aleph. Kaliya is referring to a scarecrow. Scarecrow, exactly. But here Kaila, says Rishban, is the name of a Mita. How large was that mida? Par tlosa kapizi. Now, how much is a kapizi? Rishbam says a kapiza is 3 loigin, and so therefore a kapizi, not a kapizi, a kaila is 3 times 3 is 9 loigin altogether, right? So now your kaila is 9.
No,
sure, I'd be delighted. The kaila was the size of 3 kapizi.
Right.
Each kapiza was 3 loigin. Uh-huh. If this is 3 kapizi, 3 times 3 is 9. For those of you that are not so sure, you look at Kaila, look at the Rishbam, about 2/3 down the narrow lines. Kaila is a Mida. Tlos kapizi, tes loigin, how do you get 9? Because kapizi hu kav choser loig. The high noon, how much is that? That's gimelugin. Can omen mesech the Shabbos? Chok kapizi bekava. They cut out, engraved, whatever, kapizi inside the kava. So therefore you have 3 loigin, that's 1 kapizi. Here we're talking about 3 kapizi. 3 times 3 is 9 loigin altogether. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Fine. So he was masakin this mida of 9 loigin. Omrulay. And they said to him, how can you do the one mishmolei maisif and ala mida yisiyos mishtus? You're being moisif ala mida is more than ishtus. Now what does that mean? See, Gemara assumed that the reason why Shmuel said that is that people should not go and have a to'us in the size of the midos. And therefore they're saying, normally what would the midos be otherwise? You'd have back on the Amud Aleph, back on when we started off today's Gemara, we started talking about the various sizes. So here we're talking about Plus Kampizi, which is 9 kavin. We had previously, going back to the Pei Tesam and Peis, we said you started off with a So'a, which was 6 kavin, right?
Yeah.
And then from the 6 we went down to 3, and then we went down to 1.5. So that was 6 kavin. How much is a kav? So we already established that a kav is dalid loyin. 1 kav is 4 loyin. Okay, so now a So'a has 6 kavin in it. You have how many kavin in a saw? 6 kavin. How many loigin do you have in a kav? 4. So you have 24 together. Before you also had 24, but they were talking about kav had 4 loigin and a loigin had 6 bayin. Here we're talking about a saw has 6 kavin and a kav has in it 4 loigin. So it's the same 6 times 4. That's why you have the goidu, right? Gimel vav dalet vav. The gimel is the 3 saw in an eifa, but then the vav is both the number of kavin in a saw, as well as the second vav is the number of bayim in a loik. Askala. But anyway, so it comes out 24. So you have the saw is 24. The tarkov is half of that, so that gives you 12. Right? Tarkov is half of the saw. If the saw is 24 loigin, tarkov, which is half, right? That's trey the kavin, it's 3 kavin, so that would be half of 24, that's 12. The chatzi tarkov would be 6. So I have over here 2 existing measures. One is a 12 loig, and the chatzi tarkov is a 6 loig. What Rav is doing now, not Rav, it's a Papa Bar Shmuel, he went and inserted in between a 9 loig. So now instead of just being 12 and 6, we also have the 9er in between. Okay, so now if we're going to start figuring out the cheshbonis, 9 vis-a-vis 12 is a difference of 3, and therefore 3 out of 12 would be a quarter. And the Gemara said in the Amud Aleph, we want to avoid the osa lechlufi. You're going to have a chlufi, how much? Al matoy inish riva. People are going to make mistake of a quarter. And so therefore people were concerned, Papa Bar Shmuel, how are you able to make this 9er? You're going to have confusion between the 9 and the 12. So, talk to Yibara. You can't make it more than a 6th. And here, he's making it a quarter. He said, I made a brand new midah. What does that mean, a brand new midah? Says Rishbam, where I live in my community, and we'll see in a moment, that was Papunya, they didn't have a midah of 12 and of 6. So he said, I don't have to worry about making this midah of 9. Why didn't they? I guess the customers always bought larger or smaller amounts and volumes, and they never bought a 12 lugger or a 6, so they didn't have that. If you look at the first wide line, in my town where I live, we don't have a midah cheres. They have sitagra. The gamli litois beriva. Shein beir hazoyis. They don't have the 6er, they have the moisef olav shlish. They don't have the 12er. They have the pachas revia. I don't have that problem. If you're concerned about the fact that you have a 6er, and I'm making now a 9er, so the difference is 3. A third of 9, of course, is 3, which is a third, right? So the third is more than a 6th. What did you do? I don't have that problem. We don't have any 6ers in our town. And if you're worried about vis-a-vis the 12ers, we don't have those either. And the difference between 9 and 12, which is 3. 3 is a quarter of 12. And we said on the Amud Aleph, people are going to be toye b'riva. These concerns don't apply because there's no 12er and there's no 6er, there's only a 9er. Is this not good? That's what the Papa Bar Shmuel said. Says Gemara, Shadri l'pumpeti, brand new, that there is no competition, nothing similar. So Shadri l'pumpeti, so they sent either a message or this particular kli, this kaila of the midah to Pumbadisa, well, they were not makabel. And apparently, the reason why not makabel, the Rishbam said, there as well in Pumbadisa, they didn't have those shiurim, but presumably they were concerned about perhaps, I wouldn't say Marasayim, but rather other communities will say, hey, I visited Pumbadisa on vacation and they had a 9er. why come there's no Niner in our community? That's a good question. So I'm going to manufacture a Niner, and they won't realize because in Babadisa they don't have a 6 or they don't have a 12. In other words, we're concerned about the potential effect on other communities by the fact that they, that if you're going to make a Niner over here, you'll have a Niner elsewhere. And if they were not Mekabel, they said, Papa Bashmul, you cannot sell your Niner here locally in Babadisa. However, Shadr the Papa Punya, he did send it back to Papa Punya of Ekeblua, and they were Mekabel. The Karule, and they would go and call this Mida, this is the Roy's Papa, Busmaid Roy's Papa. So Rishbam has two Pshatim. First Pshat says Rishbam is Loshen Midu Ba'oisei HaMalchus, in wherever this Papunya was, that was the local expression for the name Mida. Instead of calling it Kaila, they would call it Roy's. The Istigar is Roz Papa. Roz, as we know, means like a secret, or in this case, an Aitza, Kaloimer, Atzasra Papa, like here the Inner Loshen Gemar. So Rishbam says that there are others that are Goyer's Roz Papa. This was Papa's idea. He came up with this brilliant Einfall, a new thing that nobody came up with until now. He was able to go and make beepers go and explode by just on call, that type of thing. And says Ingmar, that's not the Loshen HaGemar to go and say Roz, Papa's secret, or Papa's
innovation.
Good. So therefore, Roy's is the better term, the Loshen. I wonder whether or not there's some connection between the name Rav Papa and Papunya. Or the Yo or the Nish, but it doesn't make a difference. And we continue on. Tana Rabba.
So I assume his beers that he would sell.
Is that, I don't think it's the same Rav Papa, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. It's not Rav Papa, I think it's Rav Papa. Isn't it different Rav Papa?
Yes, Rav Papa. No.
And he was also, I don't think he was he in Papunya? He was with Rava in...
Mechayza?
Yeah, Mechayza, wasn't it?
Could be. Don't remember.
Okay.
But I think you're right. Rav Papa Stam, Rav Papa Shmuel, I think, are two different individuals. Anyway, we have other Rav Papas. Gemara says there was one Rav Papa that was very stout, and the whole thing fell in the whole bench. He was number five to sit on the bench. Different. Okay, this doesn't make a difference. Do it more back to Tana Rabba. Oitzri peiris amalim beribis amaktine eifo umafkiye sh'orim alein akosav oimer. The Pasuk says, not nice things. These are people that are causing tsuris. Who the oitzer peiros? People that are hoarding peiros for the purpose of making an artificial shortage in the marketplace, which will cause the prices to go up. They're cornering the market. He buys up all the wholesale from all of the farmers, holds on to it. Hey, there are no bananas available. There are no tomatoes. There are no potatoes. Prices go up astronomically. And then, of course, he sells them to make a nice profit. Umalim beribis, people that are lending money beribis, which of course is also umaktine eifa, people that are playing around with the sizes of the eifa, and yes, this is an eifa volume, and really it's only 0.9 of an eifa or whatever. Umafkiya sh'arim, people that cause market rates to go up. We'll talk about that a little bit further. These four categories of people, lay in a kosa boimet, says about them. Limor brings now two psukim in Amois. The two psukim are not totally back to back, but very close to one another. One is Omis Ches Hey, and the other one is Omis Ches Zayin. And Omis Hanovi is saying about these bad people, Lemar Mosai, these people are saying, Mosai Yavar HaChoydish V'Nashbir HaShever, when is the Choydish going to end? And then we're going to go and sell the Shever. Shever means the produce, like you have in the Torah, Shever b'Mitzrayim, right by Yosef. Lishbor Shever b'Mitzrayim.
Majbir is a retailer.
Majbir the retailer, exactly. There's a store in Yerushalayim called Majbir, right? And then it says v'Hashabbos. This Shabbos is not referring to Shabbos; it's referring to Shemitah. And what is a person? The person hoards all of the produce until Shemitah, and then Shemitah, of course, there's a shortage in the market because all the people quickly took from the fields and all the rest, and you can't buy and sell. So a person is now hoarding from pre-Shemitah produce to be able to go and sell it at a huge profit during Shemitah. And Beniftach HaBar, so when, by Shabbos, when Shemitah comes, I'm going to open up the bar and sell all the produce. And Lahaktin Eifa, that we spoke about before, Maktini Eifa, to go and give false Eifa, in other words, it looks like an Eifa, it smells like an Eifa, but it really it's only 0.9 of an Eifa.
Shrinkflation.
Shrinkflation, okay, good. Well, Lahagdil Shekel, and to make the Shekel larger, Rishbam says Lahagdil Shekel means those people that are Malvi Baribis, they took a shekel, but they're taking more than a shekel, so they're Magdil, the shekel that they lent. They're getting back a shekel and a punjoin, or a shekel and a dinner, etc. Well, the aves moizne mirba, also going and fortifying your moznayim, your scales. So about all of these nice people, it says, skip a pasuk, uksiv, nishba Hashem b'gon Yaakov im eshkach l'netzach kol maaseyim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll never forget all of their deceptive business practices. These guys are bad, bad, bad. Okay. So Zokti Mar, we just said now about Oitzrei Peirois, that those are one of the five. Mm-hmm. Who is that? Give me an example. Going man, Reb Yochim, going Shapsi Otza Peirois. Who is Shapsi Otza Peirois?
Famous story in Yom. His mother and Reb Yochim's mother both were fasting on Kippur. Reb Yochim's mother didn't drink. Shapsi's mother drank.
And
she died in childbirth, though. She died soon afterward.
Ah, okay. So you're quoting the Gemara quite well, but let's go look at the Gemara itself. What top is it? Maybe Pei Gimel. Perhaps Pei Gimel.
Pei
Gimel. Okay. So this is a fascinating Gemara. Fascinating Gemara. What did it say in the Gemara? Zok to Gemara. Hahi Ubra. Ubra means an Isha Mu'uberes. Isha Mu'uberes is a lady who's pregnant. De'orcha, she was smelling on Yom Kippur. She was smelling food. And she said to her husband and to the locals, I have to eat. My Ubra inside, my baby inside is insisting on eating. I know it's Yom Kippur, but it's Pikuach Nefesh. He keeps on knocking and banging and I can't hold out anymore. I have to be able to eat. So also the Kami de Rebbe, they went in front of Rebbe and they said, Rebbe, what should we do? Can we be matir this lady to eat now on Yom Kippur? Omelahu, so he said to them, Zilu, go, l'choy shula, and whisper in her ear, the Yemet Kippuru, say, young lady, it's Yom Kippur today. They did that, l'choy shula, v'ilchisha, and the baby inside miraculously said, okay, it's Yom Kippur, I didn't know, it's not my fault, I didn't have a calendar inside in the stomach, and therefore the baby was quiet. Koryalei said Rebbe about this child, a pasuk in Yermia, the terem etzorcha babeten yidaticha. Even before I fully formed you, babeten, in the womb, yidaticha, you already knew me, Kodesh Baruch Hu. And eventually, as you said, nafik mina, eventually the child was born, of course, a few months later, a few days later, whenever it was, and they gave him the name Yoichanan, and ultimately this became the famous Rabbi Yoichanan that you have on almost every daf in Shas, the great Rabbi Yoichanan, already a baby in the womb, was already a tzaddik. Yom Kippur, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Didn't eat. So now that there's another story which is almost identical. Hayi Uber, another Isha Muberes, Do'archa, smelled on Yom Kippur and said, I gotta eat. Rebbe was not around. Also the Kamed Rabbi Chanina came from Rabbi Chanina. Amalahu, and he said the same thing. Apparently Rabbi Chanina had learned the daf. He said, oh, we're going to do it like Rebbe. L'chushala. Go and tell it. It's Yom Kippur. B'lay ilchisha. And she didn't listen. That is, the Uber inside didn't listen. Said, no, I know Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, I got to eat. Karyalei. So they said about this child, a pasuk in Tehillim, Zoiru Rishoyim Meirechem. That the Zera of Rishoyim already in the Rechem, this young child is going to become, Rishbam says the word Zoiru, Nasu Zorim. That they have become like strangers to the Rabbi Shalem. We're telling you it's Yom Kippur. No, I got to eat. So you see that it's going to be already a Rasha made Rechem from the womb. You can already tell the character of this young kid. Nafik Mina, a little kid, when he was at the Bris, they called him Shapsi. But in later years, he became infamous as Shapsi Otzar Peri. The Shapsi Otzar, and that's our Gemara over here. He already, as a kid in the womb, as a fetus, he was already had bad character.
Rilchon's mother passed away, I think, in childbirth. Mm-hmm. The Morbidushin says so. I don't know what Shapsi's mother, but his father passed away when his mother was pregnant, so he was an orphan basically from birth.
Okay.
So it was
miraculous he became the great Godel that he became.
Right, exactly.
Very good. It's a book about Rabbi Lau. Rabbi Lau once met the king of Jordan. And the king of Jordan, the first question he asked him is, I understand that you were brought up already at the age of 5, you lost both of your parents. He said, that's true. So he said, how can that be that you have become the chief rabbi of Israel, and all the kids in my kingdom, when they're 5 years old, they lose their parents, afterwards they will become Ganovim and Rotzchim and Rishoim and all that. How does that turn out? So they quote that in the book. He was so despoiled that a 5-year-old orphan from Beide Zeiten afterwards became a chief rabbi, such a great Talmudic scholar with such influence, and most of his 5-year-old orphans, they don't turn out that way. So that's your the same case like Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara.
Even Shabbos was a Jew. He may have been a Russia, but he was a Jew.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't say about him that he was an orphan enough, that we don't know. You don't know about Rabbi Yochanan.
Shabbos 3.
Okay, so maybe he was an Einiko. Maybe he was called after. Or the Yodanish. Anyway, Suzuki Yomara, who is the Oitzepetis? That Shabbos Oitzepetis. He's the paradigm, he's the example of the infamous Oitzepetis.
Now, the Yomara. Does that come from like Shabbos?
The father of Shmuel, Mazben Lehula Peri Betara Charifa, or Tara Charifa, Kitara Charifa. Now the Gemara is telling us the malos of the father of Shmuel and the malos of Shmuel, that what both of them were people that had tremendous rachmonis on the Hamoin Am, on all the consumers. So what happened? Avud Shmuel Mazben Lehu, he would go and sell peyrois as soon as the Tara Charifa, or the Gemara elsewhere says Tara Charifa, that means the very first Shah, the first market rate is proclaimed, is published in the papers, in the Wall Street Journal, or what have you. Now, what would a lot of farmers do under those circumstances?
They hold back and try to get a better price.
They would hold back and wait, figuring that's the cheap price because now all the goods are coming into the market at the same time, so hold some of it back. No. What Shmuel would do is, Avud Shmuel, that is, whenever he would have the payers, as soon as the first day that the market opened, that Bruchshim new payers, he put as many payers into the marketplace so that it's going to be at a cheap price and all the competition is also going to have to charge the same price. And he would constantly throughout the market until even when it comes to the Goyren, when later on people are processing, etc., he would keep it down at the same rate. Since he kept it at that low rate, defying market expectations, all the competitors did the same, and therefore the consumers were the winners. Shmuel, his son, also intended to be like his father, but he did it a little bit differently. Mashi Leperi, he did hold back some of the payers initially. Umaz ben Lu, and when would he sell it? Petara Afa, when the Shah Taka went up, he immediately went and dumped on the market the payers that he had hoarded, Kitara Harifa, like the original price, and that immediately had an effect on the market to lower the price, because if Shmuel is selling a Kitara Harifa, of course everybody ran to Shmuel, and therefore that of course caused all the competitors also to lower their prices.
You saw in Sukkah when there was a problem with Hadassim being very expensive, and Shmuel said, he said, if you don't cut the price, I'm going to be matir the cutoff Hadassim, and so the price will collapse.
Okay.
So Shmuel, besides being an astronomer and a doctor, was also a public merchant, a public servant.
Very good, beautiful. Shkoyach. There was a story with the Ger Rebbe, I think it was Lev Simcha, the Shtramel Macher had increased the prices of Shtramlech 20%, something really ridiculous. And the Rebbe called him in and he said, Rebbe Yid, if you're not going to reduce your prices, Metchem this Shabbos, I'm going to wear my weekday hat in shul, and all the chassidim are going to follow, and nobody's going to buy any shtramlech. And he got the message, and he got the prices as a result. Anyway, continue on. Shol chamita, tava de abba midbra. Even though everybody recognized that both the father Shmuel and Shmuel are doing a tremendous toivah for the kohol, however, the father's toivah was greater than the son's toivah. My time, because tara de ravach, ravach. When prices go up, for the prices to go down, it takes a while. If you happen to drive a car, and you know from time to time gasoline prices go up, they always go up at 25-cent increments, you know, it starts at $3.75, and then $3.49, and then
$3.48, $3.47.
And when it comes down, eventually it comes down one penny at a time, it takes a long time until it goes down. So therefore, by Avud Shmuel putting out the payers immediately, he kept the market rate low throughout. The Shmuel, who intended being like his father, by allowing the prices to creep up, even though he quickly put the payers in the market, but unfortunately it didn't go down as quickly.
Shmuel's father's name was Abba Bar Abba, so Abba da Abba, it's a little bit of a pun. Tava da Abba.
Gotcha. Omerav, oisa odom es kavoy oitzer. A person is allowed to go and make an oitzer of his own kavod, meaning to go be oitzer payers like Shabsi oitzer payers that went all to the farmers, to all of them, and collected from 50 or 100 farmers all of their produce and hoarded it, that you're not allowed to. But you're allowed to go and hoard your own product. If you happen to be a farmer, you can go and hoard your own. Why? Says Rishbam, you need it for your own family, for yourself, for your family, for your mishpucha. That you don't have to automatically sell it in the market. Your own kav you can keep for yourself. Tana mihalchi in oitzim peiros dvarim. You cannot go and in oitzim peiros. Which type of peiros? Dvarim sheish ben chayi nefesh. Things which are real staples that everybody needs. Keep going. Yeinois and shmanim unslosois. But things which are kind of luxury items. Aval tavlin, komin, ubilpulin, that's already mutter. Those are things that the hamoin am apparently didn't buy. These are different types of spices. Tavlin is spicy generally, komin is cumin, and pilpulin is pepper. So apparently this is not oivel seicha, not everybody bought it. And therefore mutter that you could be oitzer, because if you can't get it, you can't get it. So I won't have these luxury items. When are we talking about that you cannot be oitzer, lekech menashuk, if you're buying from the market and you are hoarding? Your own is mutter. That's the Tanya Mahochi that Rav, your own produce, you're allowed to. So we talked about Shmita before, and the Gemara says is that, for instance, for your family, you know that Shmita is going to be next year, so you're allowed to start hoarding in advance enough to keep your family covered for the next 3 years, both Erev Shvius, when you normally buy or keep for Erev Shvius, and for Shmita and Matzoy Shvius as well as the year after Shmita. After all,
you have to have beer. I understand. You have to bring out if you have beer.
We're not talking about Meiser.
No. But Peir Shvius, you have to be.
No question.
These are pre-Shvius Peirs.
That's why.
But when Shvius comes by, you have to bring out. You can't.
Which ones? The Shmita produce, but not pre-Shmita produce.
These are mutter to store.
If I have, for instance, dried out. I have raisins, boxes of raisins, which I have stored since year 5 or year 6 of Shemitah. Come Shemitah, I don't have to share that with anybody, I just keep it for myself. The reason why I hoarded all of these raisins, because I knew in the 7th year I'm not going to get fresh grapes. Maybe, you know.
Shemitah produce you have to.
Exactly. So, Erev Shvius, Shvius, and Matzoy Shvius. And Rishbam suggests that you can even hoard a lot to be able to supply the community as well. A lot of people, they don't think ahead, and then it's going to come Shemitah, I didn't think of it, what am I going to have? So you hoarded more to be able to go and supply the community also with payers during the Shemitah year from pre-payers produce. Today, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not that much of a problem, because they import from chutzlars whatever they need for those that are Shemir Shemitah. I'm sorry?
When I say peros, they mean more like to the weeds and things like that.
Any type of produce.
You're not going to store grapes.
Grapes, that's why you make raisins out of it. That's why you dry it up. That's why they kept it in the fields during the good old days, so that they would dry out, and then if it would start raining in the rainy season, get it together, so that it don't... Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Ubishnei betzayis. Betzayis means years of famine, that there's no food. For the kaf charuven lo yatzah, don't even hoard a kaf charuven, a boxer, because that chasvashom can bring a curse into the market rates. Whatever you have that you can share to be able to, that people should be able to eat, and don't the prices should not go up. Omalei Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina lefuga shame. Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina said to his shamas, whose name was Fuga, poik otzar li peiri shol l'shonim er shvias shvias shmoitzoy shvias, enough food to keep ourselves, our family, and the community. It kept well for 3 years, so go and buy now in Erev Shemitah produce for 3 years, because we're going to need that in the Shemitah year and post Shemitah until in Sheminis we're going to have new produce. Tanurban, Eimotzim Peiros Meretz Yisrael. You should not go and export any peiros from Eretz Yisrael. Dvarim Sheyesh Ben Chayi Nefesh, where these are absolute necessities, because if you're not going to leave enough peiros behind in Eretz Yisrael, you might make more money by sending it to Thailand or to Bavel or Iran or wherever, but people in Eretz Yisrael need it. So don't export it. You're allowed to. You should go and export as much wine as possible, because by drinking wine, you cause people to become drunk, and then they are marvah betifel. Betifel means all types of nonsense. Tifl is also an expression for the tefillahs of goyim, but here we're talking tifl means that people engage in.
But it's a davar sheyesh bo chayei nefesh. It's a little bit interesting, because
Because you need
drink, water was very contaminated, so people drink wine because it was filtered and pured and stored.
And you also need it for kiddush, you need for Abdullah, right. And you need for chasinus, you need for brisim. That's true. So presumably, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah didn't say, go export all of the wine, but some of the wine you can, because too much wine is not such a good thing. And the Rishbam says on the bottom, Neshim Amayit, the Nichnas Yayin Yotzer Soy. This is very famous Chazal. If you go and drink wine, then the soy has come out, and the gematria of Yayin is 70, the gematria of soy is 70, so you imbibe the 70, and then you have Soy. Hayitana Hachnosa Hoytzoa Korile, or Kiboyle Kachpolta. You put it in 70, 70 is going to come out. Alright. So even to Surya, even though Surya does have certain dinim like Eretz Yisrael, so Rishbam, however, it's Kibbish Yochid, Loishmei Kibbish, according to this man, the Amar, so Surya is not considered to be like Eretz Yisrael. It's maybe like Eretz Yisrael, the Gittin, and the Gabi Shechruri Avodim. Remember, we had back of Sessions Gittin in the beginning. But anyway, you can be Moitzi, Peiris, and Eretz Yisrael, Surya. The Rebbe, however, is Matem Mihapachia, Lihapachia. Hapachia means from one neighboring region to another neighboring region. So what does that mean? Look at the top. Rishbam, Hipachia, Achroini Shal Eretz Yisrael, Hipachia, Rishoini Shal Surya, that if you happen to have the final community, the final town at the border of Eretz Yisrael, and right over the border you have the first community of Surya, that you're like, even this Mukhin Kolkach Mutarim, since they're almost, you know, bedroom communities, one another.
Twin cities,
and you're allowed to go and sell from there to there. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Says Akiva.